Business Hour with Oli Bocheng on OFM, the sound of your life.
It's the OFM Business Hour powered by Standard Bank Business Banking. Tonight I'm speaking to Itai Gawunza. He is an attorney specializing in employment law at ENS Africa regarding the doctrine of common purpose and how it can adversely impact employees and employers with regards to misconduct in the workspace. Here's our chat. Itai, what is the doctrine of common purpose and why should South African employers be aware of it?
Yes, so at a very high level, the doctrine of common purpose is a doctrine that seeks to attribute liability for the conduct of a particular person to another person who, although he or she may not have been the actual perpetrator of the misconduct, he or she is held liable for it because the person happens to associate themselves with the conduct of the perpetrator.
Okay, well, explain how the doctrine of common purpose was used in the NUMSA versus, you know, Mali Pipe Systems case.
Yes, it's quite an important judgment in the employment sphere and quite recent for that matter. I think by way of introduction, what I can say, again, at a high level, is that as it was confirmed in this particular judgment, an employee can be found to have acted with so-called common purpose if it can be shown that the employee associated themselves with the misconduct committed by another person, even in circumstances where the employee did not personally perpetrate the misconduct in question. So that's how the doctrine was articulated. Now, in this NUMSA and Mali Pipe Systems matter, this doctrine of common purpose was applied. And what had happened, several employees who at the time were employed by Mali Pipe Systems, in effect surrounded the head of human resources. They pushed him out of a glass window. They threw rocks at him and they punched and kicked him several times whilst he was laying on the ground. So to put it simply, they assaulted the head of human resources, resulting in him suffering injuries to his face, to his body, and in particular to his right arm. What Mali Pipe Systems then did was to take disciplinary action against 148 employees. Mali Pipe Systems identified the 148 employees that it took action against by relying on, amongst others, photographs, videos, their clock cards, job cards, and witness accounts. In effect, they used those mechanisms to identify who of these striking employees was at work on this particular day and therefore could have perpetrated this assault on the head of human resources. Once it had identified the 148 employees, Mali Pipe Systems was then able to ascertain that only 12 of those 148 had specifically been identified as having participated directly in the assault of the head of human resources. In other words, only 12 were seen to have actually assaulted the manager in question. Nevertheless, Mali Pipe Systems, relying on the doctrine of common purpose, dismissed not only the 12 that had been identified as having participated in the actual assault, but dismissed all 148 employees, which resulted in them referring a dispute that was ultimately adjudicated by the Labour Court and ended up in the Labour Appeal Court. And what the Labour Appeal Court had to decide was whether it was fair to dismiss all 148 employees, even in circumstances where only 12 of them had actually been identified as having participated or perpetrated the assault on the head of human resources. And what Mali Pipe Systems argued was that the employees had acted with common purpose because they had associated themselves with the assault on the manager through their presence at the scene. Secondly, they had encouraged those who were actually involved in the assault. Thirdly, they had failed to come to the assistance of the head of human resources. Fourthly, they had rejoiced in the assault. And lastly, they had held placards demanding the removal of the head of human resources. And therefore, Mali Pipe Systems sought to justify the dismissal of not only the 12, but all of the 148 by relying on the doctrines of common purpose. The Labour Appeal Court looked at these arguments and ultimately agreed that the doctrine of common purpose was applicable in this particular matter and relating to this particular assault on the head of human resources. And amongst the more important pronouncements that the Labour Appeal Court handed down are three in particular that I wish to highlight. The first being the finding by the Labour Appeal Court that the most probable and plausible inference from all of the evidence and all of the proven facts that had to be drawn was that the employees, all 148 of them for that matter, had associated themselves with the actions of the 12 employees that had been actually caught perpetrating the assaults on the manager. Then the second important pronouncement was that all of the employees had the requisite intention that the assault would actually happen, or at worst for them, they ought to have seen the possibility that there would be an assault on the human resources, on the head of human resources. And then the third important pronouncement was that despite their knowledge that there would be an assault or there would likely be an assault, the employees, all of them that is, actively associated themselves with the assault. And having regard to all of those factors, and upon an application of this doctrine of common purpose that seeks to attribute culpability to those who associate themselves with act of misconduct, the Labour Appeal Court was satisfied that all 148 employees were fairly dismissed.
And that was part one of my conversation with Itai Gawunza. He is an attorney specializing in employment law at ENS Africa. Part two of our conversation, in which he gives some pointers on what to do to protect yourself as an employee, is coming up on The Sound of Your Life.
The Business Hour with Ole Bocheng on OFM, The Sound of Your Life.
Welcome back to your daily dose of the OFM Business Hour, powered by Standard Bank Business Banking, with me, Ole Bocheng Mot. Tonight, I'm speaking to Itai Gawunza. He's an attorney specializing in employment law at ENS Africa regarding the doctrine of common purpose. And he's about to get into some of the tips for employees with regards to not falling into that trap. Well, how can employees protect themselves from being implicated like this, or like in the aforementioned case?
To drill down and answer your question more specifically in relation to what employees can do to protect themselves from being implicated, I think the most obvious thing to do is not to associate yourself with the misconduct of others. So if misconduct is being perpetrated and you don't agree with it, walk away, don't be in the vicinity, and don't be seen to be associating yourself with misconduct that is taking place. That's the first point. The second point would be don't encourage it. So So if you see that there is misconduct taking place that you know is a disciplinary offense, then do not encourage it, lest you be held to associate, to have associated yourself with that misconduct. And then thirdly, report it. Report the misconduct or what you saw taking place to your employer, so that you immunize yourself from any allegation as an employee that you associated yourself or you had anything to do with the misconduct.
Mm-hmm. In closing, any final bits of advice pertaining to this doctrine of common cause? What is it that we should, I guess, always be cognizant of as employees, as employers?
For employees or insofar as employees are concerned, I think I would highlight the fact that they should not risk being disciplined or being dismissed because of association with their colleagues who happen to be perpetrators of acts of misconduct. As I said before, rather walk away. Do not be seen to be encouraging or associating yourself with an act of misconduct. And if you have an opportunity to do so, report it to the employer. And then from an employer's perspective, what I would emphasize is that employers have an opportunity to cast the net wide, so to say, when it comes to misconduct perpetrated by many and in respect of which only few people have been actually identified as having thrown the punch, so to say. And by casting the net wide, what I mean to say is an employer can discipline not only the actual perpetrators of the misconduct, but also those who perpetrated or those who associated themselves with the misconduct, either before the misconduct took place or during the commission of the misconduct or even afterwards. So by way of example, an employer would be able to also discipline employees who did not actually perpetrate the misconduct but were involved in its planning before it took place, or who happened to be on the scene when the misconduct took place, or after the misconduct has taken place, employees who are seen to be supporting it and rejoicing in the misconduct. So the net can be cast that wide, and the disciplinary arm that an employer has can stretch that far upon an application of the doctrine of common purpose.
And that was Itai Gabunza. He is an executive at ENS Africa, specializing in employment law. To listen to our conversation in its entirety, head on over to fm.co.za, click on read, and then on business.
The Business Hour with Olebogeng on OFM, the sound of your life.